Okay, I don't know if the name Elar Azariah means anything to you. Azariah. No joke, that's his name. Does it mean anything to you? No, he's sitting in jail now. He's not a relative of mine.
Elor Azariah.
Say it again.
Oh,
Elor. Elor. Did I say Elor? I meant to say Elor. Elor Azariah.
Yeah, yeah.
The soldier you're talking about.
Exactly. He's a sergeant in the army. He's sitting now after 8 months of court cases in the military courts. They put him into jail. Why? Because he killed a terrorist.
Right.
He defended the country. He saved lives.
Well, look, Joe, that depends on your understanding of what went on. I invite you to see the video of his actions, you know, and you can decide for yourself.
He's wide open.
He claims that he killed the terrorist because the terrorist was about to blow. He was about to blow himself up.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not getting into the politics of it. But let's assume, theoretically, the terrorist would not have blown up anybody, you know, let's say, if we could know such a thing. Meaning, if I bracket the element of pikuach nefesh, there's no pikuach nefesh here. But just the fact that this man was involved in a terrorist act, is that itself, if not justification to kill him, at least if you went ahead and killed him, you would not be held responsible under the law of manslaughter. Or maybe you would. I don't want to prejudice you one way or the other. I just want to study the sugya. Now, the sugya divides up into three parts. This is just by way of introduction. The first part is called Habba B'Machteres. And we're going to see that what's unique about someone, a burglar who comes into your house and digs his way in, is that he has a quasi-status of a rodef, which is going to be the second category, the second sugya, which is called a rodef. Now, when I say a quasi-status, there are a couple of issues that we'll have to address. Number one, ostensibly, he's coming to steal your artwork. He's not coming to kill you. And if he can get out of there after he commits and completes his burglary without any confrontation with the owner of the house, he's a happy camper. But on the other hand, the owner of the house has the right to defend his property and confront the burglar. And at that point, the burglar realizes that he might be killed if he doesn't kill the owner of the house, so that he's a potential rodef. So the first issue is, well, we don't know that he's a rodef. We're only assuming if the balabais would defend himself and come at him with a gun or a knife, then he obviously is prepared and he's equipped to save himself, even if it means that he'll kill the balabais. Okay, so that's one issue in Baba Machteres. The second issue is that there may be situations in which the Baba Machteres is definitely not willing to kill anybody. Because, let's say, for example, a father would come and, you know, he would burglarize his own son if he was so desperate for funds. Then the premise, again, this is a sugi, but the premise is that the son, that the father would not kill his own son. So again, as a general rule, we're going to give Baba Machteres a status of a rodef. Okay, now let's get to the second category, and that's the rodef. Now, the deal with the rodef is that Habba Lahargecha Hashkem Laharga, which means that we have to kill someone who's threatening to kill someone else. When I say we, I mean anyone. In the case of Baba Machteres, it's not clear that anyone could kill the burglar. That has to be taken under advisement. But in the case of a definite rodev, or if you want to classify Bava Machteris as a definite rodev, because the Bava Machteris is anticipating that the owner of the house will defend himself with weapons, so therefore the Bava Machteris is going to be very well equipped and armed with weapons, ready to kill anybody. So then with regard to a rodev, anyone could kill the rodev. That's also crystal clear. However, the law of rodev has a built-in limitation rule, and that is you can only kill the rodev as long as he's a rodev. If he's already been neutralized, and again, I'm using that word neutralized only because I'm an Israeli, so I'm borrowing it from the translation of English into Hebrew, which is neutralized. Very interesting Hebrew word that they use here. If he's neutralized, which means that the rodev can no longer do any harm, at that point, you're not allowed to kill him. But that leads us to the third sugya, which is the most fascinating sugya for our purposes today. And that is, again, brace yourself for a very, very strange question. Do we violate the Shabbos in order to save the life of a Bava Machteris? Strange question. Well, what happens is that this guy dug his way into your house on Shabbos. The law is you're allowed to kill him. And then a gal of Avonim, you know, as he's pushing through, the stone wall collapses on top of his head. And the question is, do we violate the Shabbos to save someone who has the status of a rodev? Which means the following. What it really means is, and this again introduces not another category or a concept, but another terminology called Gavra Ketila. Gavra Ketila basically means someone who's meant to die. Either he's meant to die because the death process has already begun, then we're talking about a physical situation, or he's a Gavra Ketila because the halacha allows you to take his life. So for example, if we apply the principle of Abola Hargacha Hashkem Lahargo, somebody's threatening your life, you take his life before he takes yours, he's called a Gavra Ketila. Why? Because the halacha has already activated the heter, the license to take his life. Once the halacha gives you a license to take his life, he loses his status as a bar chiyusa, as someone who's alive. And therefore, the first nafkamina is that you're not allowed to violate the Shabbos to save someone who's already a bar ketila. However, it gets complicated. Why? Because he's a bar ketila as a result of the fact that he has a status as a rodev. But as we said before, he only has a status of a rodev as long as he's actively threatening someone else's life. When we get to the point where we have to save his life, again, the life of the Bava Machteris, he is no longer threatening anyone's life. The man is buried deep, deep under a pile of heavy stones. Now, at that point, is he still a Gavra Ketila? Or is he not a Gavra Ketila? And then Afkamina is going to be whether we violate the Shabbos to save his life, David?
Yeah, the Gemara says that if he's on his way out from stealing, he's no longer a Bar Ketila.
So if we're going to say that after a person is no longer involved in that act, whether it's stealing, whether it's threatening someone else's life, he's already neutralized, again to use that term, then he loses his status as a rodev, then what happens to the status as a bar ketila if we presume that we undermine that status as a bar ketila? Then, oddly enough, we are going to violate the Shabbos in order to save his life. Now again, if we manage to successfully save his life, I'm not going to give him shlishi or shishi. He's obviously a rasha. You know, he hasn't done tshuva yet. You know, just that unfortunately, from his perspective, maybe fortunately from our perspective, the wall collapsed on his head. He's not what you'd call a tzaddik. But the halacha, in terms of violating the Shabbos, makes no distinction between a tzaddik and a rasha. So we have to knock that out of our heads. And I'm talking to myself here. You know, you might think, well, if someone's in a pikuach nefesh situation, and he's a Russia, is maybe I should stand on the side and clap my hands and hope that he dies. No, the halacha doesn't operate that way. The halacha operates that we have to save the life and violate Shabbos on behalf of every Jew. Again, there may be various exceptions in the case of an apikoros, and we spoke about this in terms of a tinok shenishpan and someone who's a karoi, you know, and so on. But leaving out that whole discussion about karoim, this guy is a Rasha, he wants to steal. Again, in order to achieve his goal, he may arm himself, and he'll use those arms if need be to defend himself, but he's not a killer in the first choice. That's not his first choice. He'd love to get out of there with your art piece without having to kill you. He's a Rasha, but nevertheless, mefaknin es hagal, bein letzadik bein l'rasha. So everything is going to depend on that moment of time when the gal falls on his head. He, 1 second ago, had the status of a rodef, and therefore ipso facto a gavra ketila. We would not violate the Shabbos for a rodef. But yet, a second later, when he's neutralized, he's pinned deep under the ground, at that point, l'chora, and we're going to soon see that that's not the case, and the question is why, l'chora, we should have said, at that point he ceases to be a rodef, he's neutralized, he doesn't have the power to threaten your life. Therefore, he loses his status as a gavra ketila, he goes back to the original status as a bar chiyusa, and therefore we should violate the Shabbos on his behalf. That's what I think should have been the logical conclusion. But if I can prove to you, Rabosai, at the end of this shiur, that no, we will not violate the Shabbos to save this man's life, and again, we're going to have to figure out why that's so, that means that he's a gavra ketila, even though he's not a rodef. Meaning, if you were to ask me, am I allowed to kill him? The answer is no. He's neutralized. I can't kill him. But if you ask me, do I have to save him? The answer is no, I don't have to save him. And that exactly, I believe, is the issue about my friend, or my enemy, depending upon how you view this, named Azaria. Or Azaria, whatever you want to call him. I mean, somehow the British couldn't get his name right. But I think his name is Azaria. And he is now sitting in jail. Now, again, I'm not saying that he should have killed the terrorist. That comes under different discussion about Amalek. But maybe he should have killed the terrorist because the terrorist might have the wherewithal of blowing up the whole thing. But again, for purposes of our Shia, because again, we're interested in halacha, we're not getting into the politics here. In halachic terms, even if I grant you that El Shabib, whatever his name was, I forgot, Yimach Shemo, he should rot in that place over there, that terrorist, even if you would convince yourself that terrorist was clearly neutralized, he still might have the status of a gavra ketila. And if he's a gavra ketila, then although maybe we shouldn't have encouraged Azaria to perform the act that he did and finish the job, but nevertheless, you cannot prosecute him because he killed a gavra ketila, and certainly you cannot prosecute him under the law of manslaughter. So again, Rabosa, in a sense, I'm letting the cat out of the bag here because I, in my introduction, I gave you too much. I wanted this to be a cliffhanger here, but okay.
I'm just asking, how do you separate the two? That's gavra ketila from rodef.
That's going to be the main question, Joe. Can I possibly say, Joe, listen to this, that even though he's no longer a rodef, he still is a gavra ketila?
Okay.
And if I ever figure out the answer to that question, then I know the answer to this sergeant in the Israeli army. If I had the wherewithal, I would free him today. Because he certainly is not a murderer. But for that, I have to prove that a person, even though he's no longer a rodef, he still retains the status as a gavra ketila. And I have a long ways to go before I can prove to you that that's the case. Halacha always comes up with surprises. All right, Rabbi Moshe, let's start with the Gemara Well, you know what? Even before the Gemara in Sanhedrin, let's go back to basics and let's talk about the parsha of Bava Machteres. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, "Im b'machteres yimotze agano vehik vehuka v'meis ein lo damim." Interesting phrase, ein lo damim. Mind you, the Torah doesn't say stand by idly and let this guy rip, you know, just steal everything you have. The Torah doesn't say go kill this guy. What the Torah describes is a situation where vahuka. It doesn't say hake in the mandate in Lashon Tzivu, it says vahuka. Ein lo damim. Sakta Rashi, what does that mean, ein lo damim? Rashi says, im b'machteres kishahaya choter es habayis. Let's say he dug a tunnel underground to come into your basement. Ein lo damim, says Rashi, ein zu ritzicha. In other words, Rashi is not indicating some sort of an obligation on the part of the Baal Habayis to kill this guy, but rather Rashi is indicating that the Torah is addressing the guilt or lack thereof of the Baal Habayis who took the law into his own hands and liquidated the Baal B'machteres. And Rashi says, you want to prosecute him for such a thing? Oh, no. Ein lo damim. Now look at Rashi's language. Rashi says, "Hareyu kemes meikaro." I think the word meikaro here means from the moment that he starts digging into your house. What is it? What does Rashi mean, kemes? I mean, he's alive and well. But again, I think Rashi is translating the words gavra ketila into the word mess. Gavra ketila means ein lo damim. You can kill him without being guilty for the crime of ritzicha. He's mess meikara. Kach limdecha haTorah, im bo lahargecha hashkein lahargo. Interesting. Rashi says, and we'll soon see, that lechora, it's against a Gemara later on, that is going to derive Habol lahargucha hashkein lahargo from a different pasuk, a different parasha, but Rashi derives Habol lahargucha hashkein lahargo from the parasha of Bava Machteres. Now Rashi still has a ways to go. What do you mean Habol lahargucha? This guy is coming to steal my artwork. He's not coming to kill me. Says Rashi, v'zeh lahargucha ba. He's coming to kill you. It doesn't mean that that's his l'chatchila first choice, his intention, but he's willing to kill you if need be. He's prepared to kill you. Sharei yodeahu she'ein od mamid atzmo v'roa she'not l'mamonu b'fun of v'shosek. That was back in the day. Did you ever hear of Rabbi Pear? No? He's a Rosh Hashiva in Far Rockaway. I think he's about 6'4". By the way, if they ever tell you about a Rosh Hashiva who's 6'4", you know he learned in Chaim Berlin. The Chaim Berliners are all very tall. Anyway, so somebody, I'm not going to tell you any sort of color or, you know, any of that stuff because you'll call me a racist, whatever. Anyway, someone breaks into his house with a gun. So Rabbi Pear attacks the guy, a very big guy, but Rabbi Pear's also a big guy, and hits him over the head with a bat. Now, I don't know if that Bob Materis is still alive or not. I can't tell you. He somehow survived that. But I can tell you that Rabbi Pear is very well and alive. It's like the story. Okay, I can tell you many stories about that. But in any event, getting back to this. So, since he knows, this Bava Machteres, that if you will protect yourself, you're willing to confront him face to face, because Chazaka ain't on the mamid atzmo v'roa shenot l'mamonu in front of his shosei l'ficha hamanas kein boshin yamod al bal amomen kinegdo yargen. This Bava Machteres is well prepared and well armed for a confrontation with the Baal HaBayis. That's the way the halacha operates. Says Rashi, if that be the case, it's habala hargucha. From the very moment he breaks into your house, he has the status of habala hargucha. And therefore Rashi says, if you kill him, then you're not a rotzeach. Because harei hu kemes mikar. From the get-go, when he breaks into your house, he's already a gavra ketila. Why? Because he knows that he's going to have to kill you if need be. You're allowed to protect your mamon. There's going to be a face-to-face confrontation. We view him as a rodev, and therefore ain lo domim. Okay. Now, that was the first piece of Gemara that we wanted to see. And we're all in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Beis. The Ayin again stands for Azariah, right? Okay. Now the Gemara goes on and says the following: Habava Machteres Nidon Al Shem Sofo. What does that remind you of, Rabosai? Habava Machteres Nidon Al Shem Sofo? Don't all answer at once. Oh, I'll blame it on Skype. I don't know. Why doesn't anyone give me an answer? Where does that come from? Nidon Al Shem Sofo.
The name like Adam.
Who?
The name like
Adam. No, but I'm saying, in what famous sugya in Shas do you have the principle of Nidon Al Shem Sofo?
Ben Sora Morer.
Excellent, Ben Sora Morer. I think Skype started working, Baruch Hashem. Ben Sora Morer. How old is the Ben Sora Morer, Bona Shalom?
13.
12 and a half. He's not even 13 yet.
No, I think it's 13 to 13 and a quarter.
Okay, maybe they're different shittas. But be that as it may, he hasn't done any crime. He hasn't committed any crime which, according to the Jewish law in the courts, would need on al shem sofo. Sofo le last teves abrios. Yomu zakai v'al yomu zchayim. Says Rashi, the lo katil, he hasn't killed anybody. So why are you telling me that he's a rodev? Umaktil, but why is he killed? Mishum de sofo larog balabayis kishayamod kinegdo lahatzil mamon. Again, Rashi is very consistent, repeats what he said earlier in the sugya. You're going to defend yourself as the balabayis, and the Baba Machteres is willing to kill you if need be. Says Rava, my time at the Machteres, this is the source of Rashi in two places. Rashi says over and over again, says Rava spells it out for us, Chazaka, Eino de Mamid Atzva Vamono, Vahai Meimer Omar. What is the Bob Machteres thinking? What were his plans? Iazilna, Koili Ape, Veloshovikle. Which means the following, Im Eilech, Yove Laila Krosi Kinegdi, Veloyazveni. Right? If I go into his house, if I break into his house, he's going to come and protect himself, and he's not going to he's going to go as far as he has to go, even if it means killing me. The koiliape katilvale, and therefore I'm willing to kill him when he comes to confront me. Vatora omra in bala hargucha hashkem laharga. Ah, now here's the source for the principle of Bola Hargucha Hashkim Lahargo, meaning the Bola Machteres from the get-go, when he breaks into your house, is already on his way to murder you, if necessary. And therefore, you kill him first. Says Rashi, time of the Machteres, Omer Torah Ein Lo Domim. Why did the Torah say that it's not Ritzicha to kill him? Chom Ahareyu Kimisha Ein Lo Dam Unishama Umuta Lahargo. Again, Rabosai, I ask you the following question. If I am being burglarized, do I have a mitzvah to kill the burglar? What's the answer?
Yes.
No. It doesn't say that I have a mitzvah to kill him. Again, you're jumping ahead of yourself when we get to the absolute classical rodev. This is not your classical rodev. Rashi says, muta lahargo. Rashi is very careful about his choice of words. Rashi says, ein zu ritzicha. And muta lahargo, you're allowed to kill him. But Rashi doesn't say you're obligated to kill him. Let's say, for example, you decide that you want to remain sleeping in your bedroom. Of course, you better lock the door, you know, with 50 locks and everything else, and a couple of steel doors, you know, because today they have submachine guns that'll do it. So you lock yourself in the room, you make, or you feign like you're sleeping. The guy comes in, he goes out, you're missing a couple of million bucks, but everybody's happy. He's happy because he has a couple of million dollars, you're happy because you didn't have to confront this guy and put your life into danger, and everything's okay. You don't have to go running after.
You have insurance, something else.
Yeah, and you have insurance, and then, you know. You know, my wife had a candy store, you know. You know that one, right? My wife had a candy store, business was so bad. You don't know.
No.
Okay.
All right.
So she asked her husband, what should we do? And this is what he said. Nema bissel kerosene and nema bissel match. No more candy store and collect your money back. You know, I forget exactly how it goes. You know. Okay. So now we get to another sugya. And this is on page 2. If you have the Mar Makomas pages, a Gemara in Brachos Daf Namit Nunches. And the Gemara tells us a whole ganze story about Rav Shila. Rav Shila. Rav Shila, this sounds like Parshas Pinchas, got a hold of a Jew who was having relations with a non-Jewish girl. Again, there's a whole issue whether it was public knowledge or not. So he beat the living daylights out of him. He gave him Malkus. Now this guy wasn't going to take it sitting down, so he decides, how can he take revenge against Rav Shila? So he decides to go ahead and tell the government. Rav Shila was very close to the government officials. Tell him that he rebelled against the government. Sounds like Hamza bar Hamza. But the only difference is that in this case, Rav Shila knew about his plan before he implemented it, and he declares, "Hai rodefu." This man is willing to have me killed. Vatora Omra in Balaharg Hashkim Laharg. Machye Bakupye Vakaple. He took a kufya, a kufa, some sort of a stick, and he killed him. Very interesting that Rashi points out that the makel with which he killed him was given to Rav Shila as a gift from the government. That's an interesting paradox. Anyway, so Rashi says, "Dira maska Torah Omra, ha Torah Omra in bala hargo ha hashkim lahargo, in the machteresi matze, the fisher balas kine fash she yodea she imhu tim imhu she im tim tse enu choter lo tamid atzmecha." So again, Rashi three times repeats this whole shtickel Torah about Bava Machteres, and in all cases, Rashi activates the principle of Habola Hargocha Hashkem Lahargo, and therefore Rav Shila saw in this Jew a Ba Lahargocha. He was threatening the life of Rav Shila, and therefore he put him to death.
It's not a case of Machteris, then.
No, not at all.
Could you find that as Rodev?
No, this is a Rodev case. It's not really a Machteris case, and yet Rashi says that it's a case of Bala Hargah Hashkem Lahargah. Now Rashi probably wanted to say that it's not a Rodev case, because you caught the Rodev before he actually started his Radifa, and that's called Abola Hargocha Hashkem Lahargo. But keep in mind, Rabbosi, for our purposes, what's critical that we remember here is that Abola Hargocha Hashkem Lahargo is a halachic principle according to Rashi derived from the parasha of Baba Machteres. Now, two more sugyas.
Sorry, he didn't actually report to the government yet?
Not yet.
He was looking to.
Correct. So he's Habala Hargacha, and that's called Hashkeim Lahargo. Catch him before he threatens your life. It's not exactly a Rodev. As we said before, that was my whole introduction, that Bala, that Dvava Machteris is not a Rodev. He's a quasi-Rodev, because because down the line he's going to become a rovev. So you're allowed to kill him because havala hargacha hashkem v'harg. Now we get to another gemara. That gemara was in brachos on daf nun ches amid aleph. Now we fast forward to daf samach beis amid beis. Okay. Now, in order to appreciate this gemara in brachos, we go back to a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and this has to do with, you remember that episode in which David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, sneaks into the cave and he cuts the corner of his garment. Hine Hayom Hazeh, David HaMelech declares on this day, Re'u Einecha Eis Hashem Nasancha Hashem Hayom B'yodi Bama'ara, that God gave you over to me in this cave, I could have killed you. The Omar Lehargacha, that basically David could have killed him and halachically could have killed him. Vatochas Alecha, but I had Rachmanis on you. And why? Lo Eshlach Yodi Ki Mashiach Hashem, because he was anointed king, I'm not going to kill the Mashiach Hashem. But technically, I'm allowed to kill him. Omar Abu Lazar, Omar David L'Shol. What's the essence of David's argument and his message to Shol? Min HaTorah Ben HaRiga Ata. As far as Torah law is concerned, I could put you to death. Sharei Rodef Ata. You are a Rodef. HaTorah Omra Haba LaHargacha Hashkem LaHarga. In other words, in this case, and again, you can interpret this in one of two ways, but let's say if we take the Gemara Rodef Ata, literally, you're already in the process of redifa. You are looking to kill me with your sword, or the swords of your henchmen, and therefore you already have the status of a Rodef. But then I read the next part of Rashi, and here Rashi seems to backtrack a bit, and he says, HaTorah Omra Abola Harkha Hashkem Lahargo, which, if you remember, Rashi says is a principle we derive from Baba Machteris. Baba Machteris is not yet a Rodev. He's a potential Rodev who will become a Rodev. And maybe at this point, we could say that even though Shaul has decided that he wants to put David HaMelech to death, he's not, at this moment, in the process of shooting arrows at David and threatening his life. And therefore, it's only Habola Hargacha, like the case of Rav Shiloh earlier in Masechta Brachos, where he anticipates that the guy is about to call in the cops, call the malchus. Okay. Now, if you can give me just 5 minutes without any questions so that I can make the following comments. Okay. From the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Gimel, which goes back to your page 1, we'll see explicitly that the source for the din of Rodev is a different parsha in the Torah. Not the way we said it, that Baba Machteres is a quasi-Rodev, but rather, Tana Rabbanan, Minayin le-Rodev acher chaver lo-hargo shenitan latzilo benafsho, Talmud lomar lo-samod al-dam re'acho. Now we have a whole new parsha. This is in Parshas Kedoshim, if I'm not mistaken. And there the Torah says, Lo Samad al Dam Reacha, your friend is about to be killed. You have to do something to prevent that death. And that's the source for Rodev. We're no longer deriving Rodev from the parasha of Baba Machteres. So if you take a look at Tosus Divya Maskel Af Rotseach, Tosus says, why does the Gemara need this pasuk of Lo Samad al Dam Reacha? Why isn't it enough to derive it from the parasha of Baba B'machteres, which is the parsha of Vehuka Vameis, Ein Lo Damim. That was the parsha Mishpatim. So why do you need the parsha in Kedoshim of Lo Samod when you have the parsha Mishpatim of Bob Machteres? Tosus answers, the Hasam Rishus. If I only had the pasuk in Bob Machteres, all I would derive is the conclusion that there's a reshus. You have the license to kill this person. In other words, Baba Machteres is only a heter laharok. But rodev is a chova laharok, kidei lahatzil es hanirdof. Now, what I want to do is fast forward to the Rambam, which you'll see on page 2. And I want to see how the Rambam codifies these halachas. Okay? So the Rambam is in...
How are they getting
it from
the proof that it's a mitzvah? Where are they getting it from?
From the fact that it says, Lo Samad al Dam Reacha, that if you don't save him, you violate a law of standing idly as somebody else is being killed.
But he's only after... Okay, so he's...
So if you stand idly, then you're violating this law.
We're changing the concept from just standing to you must kill.
Exactly. And where is that? How do we bridge that gap from heter to chova? From Bava Machteris, which is only a heter, because again, he's not yet a full-fledged rodev, to the case of rodev, which is derived from the parasha of Lo Samad al Dam Reacha. That's how we bridge the gap. And if you take a look at the Rambam clearly tells you in Hilchos Gneiva Perek Tes, which is the next to last source on your page 2, he says, HaBava Machteris Bein Biyom Bein Malayla Ein Lo Damim El Hargo Balabayis Im Hargo, if he kills him, etc., etc. Rishus Yesh Lakol Hargo, anyone is allowed to kill him. But again, it's only an allowance. The Rambam, we'll get to later on, is going to tell us in the case of Rodev, there's a mitzvah, a chova, incumbent upon anyone who can save someone, even if it means killing the life, taking the life of the Rodev. So again, the Chiddush of the Parsh of Lo Samad al Dam Reacha and the Sugin Sanhedrin Dafayin Gimel is that above and beyond the heter and the reshus of Ein Lo Damim in the case of Baba Machteres, we also have a chiyuv and a mitzvah to kill a rodev. That's the additional chiddush of Lo Samad al Dam Reacha.
Isn't it like a kavachomer? If you're mechuyev to stop this person A from killing person B, aren't you for sure mechuyev to stop him from killing yourself?
But I still don't know Baba Machteres, because as we said before, Eli, Baba Machteres is not yet a rodev. At this point, he hasn't threatened your life. He would be very happy if he could steal your, you break into your safe and get out of there before he gets caught.
I have one more question.
Okay.
One question?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, David. I'm trying to get to a punchline here, because... So again, in Rashi, and the sugya is a little bit unclear, at that particular moment, was Shol a rodev or not? Let's assume...
He's running after, don't kill him. He's a rodev.
He is and he isn't. Meaning, if David HaMelech could protect himself without killing the rodev, then that's what he should do. Like, for example, the Gemara says, if he could shoot for the legs, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So the Ramah, this is very important, the Ramah, on page 2, in Choshe Mishpat Simen Tov Chof Hei, Habobe Machteres Lignov, Gam Kein Dino Kerodev. Now, the question is, why does the Ramah say Dino Kerodev? After all, the source for the halach of Rodev is Baba Machteres. And that we saw in Rashi over and over again. Why does he have the Chof HaDimyon Kerodev? So I thought that maybe he means he's Kerodev in the sense that one of the two halachas that apply to a Rodev applies to Baba Machteres, namely the Rishus, to kill him. But the other halach of Chova, that doesn't apply. So it's only Kerodev. But on page 1 of Yomar Makomos, there's a fascinating medrash, which you'll find on the second source of your page. And this is from this week's parsha. So if we need an excuse for this sugya, we have one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to command the people of Israel to go battle against Midian. So the Midrash says, Mikan Amru Chachamim, Bo Lahargecha, Hashkem Lahargo. Now this throws a whole monkey wrench into the whole sugya, because why would Chazal in this Medrash need Tzroras HaMidyanim to introduce the halacha, the principle of Abala Hargacha Hashkim Lahargo, we know that from the parish of Baba Machteres. That even if I don't grant you that Baba Machteres is a full-fledged Rodev with a mitzvah to kill him, but it's still considered Abala Hargacha. So I don't know why the Medrash needs Tzrares Habijanim Mikan Amru Chachamim Bola Hargacha Hashkem Lahargo. So that's question number one. Question number two, on the same page, right below the Medrash, the third source on your page, you'll see a Me'iri. This Me'iri is on Daf Ayin Beis. The most important Me'iri for us is coming up later on page 3, that's on Ayin Gimel, but this Me'iri says something very strange. He says, Zeshi Tira Torah Benimtzim Achteres Laharga Torah Omra Abola Harga Hashkim Laharga Veheichan Omra Pirish B'medrash Tanchuva Mitzraris HaMidjanim Ki Tzorim Heim Lachem. Lachem, the lashon tzorim, ratzolom asmidim lahatzel lachem. These are your perpetual enemies. Umeato, therefore, hatzirulem. You go first and knock them down. Achishadaitim litzar, because their intention is to knock you down. Now, very strange. You know, we saw that Baba Machteres is the source for Abola Hargucha. Hashkem Lahargo, the Me'iri says that the only way we can derive the halacha of Habola Hargucha Hashkem Lahargo is from this Medrash and the mitzvah of Melcham against Midjan. That's very odd. I don't know. So, number one, our question is on the Medrash, and number two, our question is on the Me'iri, who clearly identifies the Medrash as the source for the halacha of Habola Hargucha Hashkem Lahargo. Okay, Rabosai. I realize that we don't have too much time. So now we're getting to the main point in the sugya. Okay, I need your full attention. Hopefully it's not as hot in Canada as it is here in Yerushalayim, so you're able to concentrate. Here it's mamish. I'm sweating bullets here. Okay. Now, the Gemara says in Masechtas Sanhedrin, on page 2, of Yomar Makomos. This is Daf Ayin Beis Omid Beis, towards the bottom of your page. The Gemara says the following: Baba Machteres is Ein Lo Domin, Bein Bechol Ubein B'Shabbos. What does that mean? Bein Bechol, Bein B'Shabbos. Obviously, Habola Hargacha Hashkem Lahargo. Even on Shabbos, we're not going to say, wait a minute, I'll let you kill me because it's Shabbos today. Says Rav Sheshes, why do we need Bein B'Shabbos? Not to allow us to kill this Baba Machteres, but rather to obligate us to save the life of the Baba Machteres, even though it's Shabbos, and even if it entails violating the Shabbos. To dig him up from the debris. Says Rashi, as he was digging into your house, this burglar, I added a little bit, whoa. Did you notice that Rashi just pulled a very cool move on us? Very sharp move. Rashi says, you know why the halacha is that you will violate the Shabbos to save the life of the Baba Machteres? Because he's lo ba al iskei nefashos. And right now, lo ba al iskei nefashos in my mind means a father who breaks into his son's house. Aval ba imbal iske nefashos, which means that I'm allowed to kill him because I anticipate that he's ready to kill me. His came underneath lo hargo, and here Rashi adds two words below asra. I can kill him right away. Is gavra ktilu mishas chatara chatira? From the moment that he breaks in, he's already a gavra ktilu because already at that moment I'm allowed to kill him. And Elo Domin. His stuff says Rashi, if he's a Gavra Ketila, then you're not going to leave a Mechal Shabbos to save a life from a Gavra Ketila. So it comes out from Rashi that Boba Machteres should nuffle all of us Hagal B'Shas Chati Rosso is a Gavra Ketila, because you're allowed to kill him at that moment, and therefore also L'Chalas HaShabbos in order to save Almanas La'atzil Gavra Ketila. We don't violate the Shabbos to save the life of a Gavra Ketila. Even though, and here's the question of today, the question of today, the moment that the gal falls on top of the head of the Bobach Teres, who can finish my sentence?
He's still neutralized.
He's neutralized. There's nothing he can do. He's not a threat to my life. The man is crushed under the weight of a gal shel avonim. I want to know whether I should save him or not. Says Rashi, he came amenas lahargucha. He has a din of a bav machteres, ain lo damim. He's a gavra ketila. Don't save him on Shabbos. Don't violate the Shabbos. Why? If there's no chashash that he will kill the balabayas after the gal falls on top of him, then he's no longer a rodev. If he's no longer a rodev, you can't kill him. If you can't kill him, then he's not a gavra ketila. So Rabosai, on this question, we have one of the major commentaries amongst the Achronim on Masechta Sanhedrin. He's called the Ar Gadol. I used to know his name, but I forgot it. Anyway, the Ar Gadol comes up with a chiddush here, which I want to analyze with you. And guess what? About 150 years after the Ar Gadol, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe came up with the same chiddush. And they both write the same thing, which you'll see on page 3. Again, if we had more time, I would love to go through the Ar Gadol with you, because it's a great light, word for word. And right now I'm not finding the Igros Moshe. Maybe that's on page 4. Okay, I don't know where it disappeared. Fine.
Top left corner.
Oh, top left. Yeah, there it is. Okay, thank you. Okay. What do they say? They say the following. You're asking me, Akasha, after the gal falls on the Baba Machteres, he's no longer a rodev, he doesn't threaten, and therefore you're not allowed to kill him, and he's not a Gavra Ketila. But Bishas Nefilas HaGal, if we could freeze one phrase, in one frame in time, meaning that very split second when the gal fell on top of him, he's a Gavra Ketila. Once he, at that moment of time, when the gal falls on him, he's a Gavra Ketila, even though one split second later he's no longer a threat, he's neutralized, is Mishum Hochi Eimer Fakhin all of a Sagal Af Shekvar Posak Miridi Faso. And in the language of the Igros Moshe on the top left, Vitzarch Lomar, the Kaiva, the Nuffel of Agal be Od Shahaya Rodev. Ask yourself the question, what was his status, this Bob Machteres, at the moment that the gal fell on his head? At that moment in time, he was a rodev. Is therefore, says Rav Moshe, lo nitar shuv latzilo be'isur Shabbos mishum di'eno b'chlal stam adam dinemar bo v'chaimah. Rabosa, I don't catch what the man is saying. A rodev is a rodev as long as he threatens you. When he no longer threatens you, he's not a rodev. So what are you telling me? At the moment that the gal fell on him, he was a rodev. So what? Now the gal fell on him, he's no longer a rodev. At that point, I can't kill him. If I can't kill him, then he's not a gavra ketila. And if he's not a gavra ketila, then I should be mechal Shabbos for him.
Is he not saying that he has to change his status, the person himself? That he hasn't changed his status. All that's happened is he's been incapacitated. He hasn't proven
it's almost like he's committing suicide.
It's proven that he hasn't He has to prove that he's no longer a rodent. He's not done. He hasn't done something.
But again, Joe, I don't understand. Answer this question. The definition of a rodent is by definition is a rodent. What does a rodent mean? He is threatening your life. That's what a rodent is. The man is no longer threatening anyone's life.
He has not shown that he has changed his
again, Joe. If you're giving me an emotional, impulsive kind of answer to this question, you know, like I always say about Pinchas, you know, he was passionate, he was emotional, he was impulsive, and kind of on Pogimo, if that's the kind of answer you're giving me, okay, I'll accept it. But if you're giving me a halachic answer, I can't accept it. Who cares whether he did this, he did that, he didn't do it? He's not a rodif anymore. If he's not a rodif, you're not allowed to kill him. If you're not allowed to kill him, then he's a live person. The pasuk of Elo Domim of Gavak Tila doesn't apply to him. Why shouldn't you be Machal of Esa Shabbos?
That's not a...
Wait, Joe, I know we're running out of time. I just give me 3 minutes of your time in order to present to you a different approach, which I personally find a little bit more palatable. Although I have to admit, I'm still not a happy camper, but at least I think I'm moving in the right direction. On page 3, you'll see towards the bottom of your page, the Yeshuos Malko. And he offers another solution to this problem of the Orgon. And he says the following. He says, Achar Shebova Machteres, Lav Bak Tolahu, El Shemik. Once he is no longer threatening your life, he's not a Bak Tolah. El Mikol Makom, Yesh Lomar, Tehu Bichlal, Lomo Ridin, Velo Mile. In other words, I think what he's saying is that forget about the law of Rodev. The law of Rodev can't apply. You can't tell me, well, let's freeze that moment of time when he was a Rodev, when the gal fell on his head. He's not a Rodev. But you know what? We're not allowed to kill him. But we don't save him. Don't kill him and don't save him. Where do we have such halacha? Don't kill him but don't save him. That's called Milim. That's called lo moridin v'lo mile. There's certain people that we're not allowed to cause their death, but if natural circumstances have found that they will die, we are not going to intervene and save the person. Now, I'm not telling you I'm 100% there yet. You know, in baseball, I would say maybe I'm rounding second base on my way to third base. That's about as far as I can get over here. But the Yeshuas Malko is very comforting for me because he clearly understands that this halacha, that we don't save this person, has nothing to do with Rodev. You can't say, well, he was a Rodev. Let's treat him like a Rodev when he's not a Rodev anymore. According to Yeshuas Malko, a new din comes in. And that din is an over avera. A person who deserves to be killed, just that luck would have it, that before we could kill him, he fell into a pit and he died. Or he fell into a pit and he's begging us to save him. That's called lo moridin. We can't actively kill him. He's not a Rodev. But lo mailin. Let nature take its course. There's no din of the Chaimahem that obligates me to intervene to save his life at this point. And Rabbosai, it seems to me, in my humble understanding, that the issue of Azariah really hinges on the Argudel and Rav Moshe Feinstein on one end of the spectrum, and the Yeshuas Malko on the other end of the spectrum. I'll tell you why. Because if you go with the approach of the Argudel and Rav Moshe Feinstein, then it's hard for me to believe that the din, the status of Gavra Ketila, could apply to a terrorist who's been neutralized. Why? Bishlam in the case of Baba Machteres. So you could say that the status of Baba Machteres continues even if the man is neutralized, he's frozen, he's buried under an avalanche of stones, but nevertheless, he still has that halacha of a rodif. But in the case of our terrorist, assuming, again, this is a gigantic assumption here about which the, you know, there were 8 months of diunim in the military courts, assuming that he was neutralized, then he's no longer a rodif. Masha Enken, if I go with the Yeshua's Malko, then maybe I could say the following, that although I'm not allowed to cause his death directly, but nevertheless, the din is lo milim. And if that be the case, he could die. Or perhaps we could say it just the opposite. Let me try one more. I'm sorry, I'm holding you up, but I want to just try one more possibility. If Azariah is exempt from punishment as a rotzeach, it's because this terrorist has halach of a rodif. He was neutralized, but he still maintains the status of a rodif. Because at the moment he was killing people, he became neutralized. They shot him as a rodif. If that be the case, his status as a rodif continues according to the Argonel and Rav Moshe Feinstein. But if, on the other hand, we go with the approach of the Yeshua's Malko, who says that Milim Ein Milim Vein Moridin, then it could be that according to the Yeshua's Yaakov, although I'm not obligated to save his life for sure, let him die, but on the other hand, I'm not allowed to kill him. He still is a live person. And there is Ritzich. Again, there are 1,000 questions you could ask here, but that's what I have so far. Okay, any questions before you have to go, yeah, or if anybody could stay a little bit longer?
Fortunate response from Yoav or something, was the fifth rib or something. So the moment he's shot and neutralized, then it's achieved. He's no longer. I did the minimum what I needed to do to neutralize him to get him out of the definition of freedom.
So, which side are you on? Are you saying that he still remains a rodef, or he's neutralized, he's no longer a rodef?
I need what I needed to do to deal with the rodef. Rodef doesn't mean that I have to kill him. I have to stop him from killing.
And if I stopped him?
We learned that from I forget his name.
Yeah. I'm saying if I stopped him from killing, then that's all I have to do.
You killed him. Pardon me?
But in this case, he actually killed him. So that's the question. Is he killing a person who still has the status of a bar chiyusa, that he's still considered alive?
No, but he was held against him that he did that.
Yeah, of course. He killed him in the fifth grip. That's a fatal blow.
Right.
He didn't do translation. He killed a guy, right? Right. What do you mean? He killed two people. I've never been there, and I'm Muslim.
Right.
So doesn't that prove that it is considered Ritzicha?
But don't you have
part?
So you're on my side,
basically.
That's a Kiddush.
If I can stop him other than killing him, right? Then we talked about, right?
Yo, other than there, I must run right through. Long after that. They weren't right for that.
I'm sorry. You're up
again. So we're on both sides. I'm gonna ask you to. Again, do you have 5 minutes? So I don't know. I don't want to. Whoever can stay for 5 more minutes. Again, I'm not. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. Is take a look on page 3 of a different Me'iri. Again, we started with a difficult Me'iri. If you recall, the Me'iri derives the halacha of Abola Hargachon from the Milchama of the Midjanim. Here, the Me'iri seems to assume that. Also, Larog is above Mater Shenofel of Hagal, Kfar Eino Rodef. Ubishabas Yesh Fakeh Ovlas Agal. Wow. The Meirich Poshet disagrees with Rashi. We saw that Rashi in Sanhedrin assumes that Ein Mefakhin Ovlas Agal. In a case where he's Baal Iskei Nefoshos. The Meiri says, no, that also Larog is above Machter Shadofal Olav Agal, meaning that certainly the shame Rodef is Poka the very minute that the Gal falls over his head. And since he's no longer Rodef, then it makes sense to say that Mefakhin Olav is Agal, because we violate the Shabbos even for a Rasha.
Is there any such concept that if you put yourself into a situation of danger, like you did be a dying?
If you deliberately put yourself into danger, that we don't violate the Shabbos for you,
right?
So that comes up in the literature, Rahman al-Utslan, about a suicide case. Meaning, do we violate the Shabbos to prevent a person from committing suicide? Now, if I remember correctly, there are two schools of thought. One school of thought says that every suicide case is considered an imbalance, and therefore he's not really a rotzeach, because he's not in control of his own decisions. The other school of thought says it doesn't matter one way or the other. Even if he's in control of his decisions, nevertheless, we violate the Shabbos. Everybody agrees that we violate the Shabbos for potential suicide.
Yeah, this is different. This is that the guy put himself into a situation, not suicide, he's a gana becomes.
Right.
He's effectively putting himself into a dangerous situation. So therefore, what now when the gal falls, that seems to me, but
Bobby, why is that different than suicide? Again, the same in both cases.
Suicide, you could say that they're mental health issues.
No, so that's what I'm telling you, Bobby, that there is one school of thought that says, well, mental issues, he's not in control. But the other school of thought says, no, he made a deliberate decision that he wants to take his own life.
Okay, so then if you go that way, then yes, suicide would be the same.
So that's what I think the poskim say, that it doesn't matter. The halacha is that we save a life, even that of a rasha, and violate the Shabbos in order to save his life. And the only exception to that is a rodef. The other possible exception would be maybe an apikoris, you know, who's already chayv misa, so then maybe we could kill him, or kanon pogimbo in the case of Baal Aramis Befarhesia. Ira, did you want to say something? Ira, did you say something?
It's a different part.
So guys, let me hear what you have to say, Ira, because I'm going to have to go, and I just wanted to hear what you have to say, and then if Bobby could stay. Yeah?
Is there any concept of an extension of the rodef principle where even if the person is totally neutralized, the fear is that he or someone else would come back and do the same thing? So I thought the Lubavitcher Rebbe, for example, ruled that if someone comes on Shabbos to steal your field, and you know 100% that they're not going to kill you, you have a right to kill them, because if they see they can do it once, they will do it again. Huh. So can that whole idea be used here, where even if a terrorist is totally neutralized, if other terrorists see that they're not going to be killed, that they will come and do it? So in other words, extending the Rode principle that even if your life is not at that moment in danger, it will be, or could be down the road. It's a something, but it's extending the principle slightly.
So I'll tell you, Ira, I don't know that the Lubavitcher Rebbe said such a thing. I can only tell you this, that in terms of negotiating with terrorists, meaning freeing terrorists in order to save Jewish hostages, your svara is definitely a very valid and important one. Meaning, before you free a terrorist from a cell, realize full well that he's going to come back and threaten the lives of other Jewish individuals. So that definitely is so. But I don't know that allows me to take every terrorist and put him to death.
Right.
Now, you know, there may be other reasons why we would put terrorists to death from their cells, you know, or from the court, from the courthouses, and apply the death penalty. And that comes under what we call Beis Din Onshim Shalom Min HaDin, that there are powers to a Beis Din to go even beyond the din for the sake of protection of society. Now, does that apply to the courts today? Pashtus, I would say no, because you need a Beis Din Shel Smuchin for that. We don't have a Beis Din Shel Smuchin. But in the religious Zionist movement, which again, I'm not sure if you buy in or you don't. I mean, this is not a political issue. I don't care what party you vote for. But they claim that Medinat Yisrael is now granted the status of a Beis Din that has to protect the Jewish nation, at least as far as the boundaries of the law of Israel. And therefore, they can make decisions about negotiating with terrorists that maybe we should put, again, you know, things have changed, but if you go back to Entebbe, forget about Entebbe, if you go back to Maalot, I think it's 1973, I don't remember the exact year, so don't get me on this, but there the principle was, we don't negotiate with terrorists, because we realize that if we negotiate with terrorists, it's a lost, it's an endless, bottomless pit. Now, does the state of Israel have the right to make that decision? Do they have a right to present themselves as a Beis Din Shel Smuchim and put people to death? Some say, and I think Mayor Kahana would argue, if he was alive, that there's no Iser Ritzicha vis-a-vis a gut. Others would argue, and I think my Rebbe's father would have said this, that a terrorist has a Din of Amalek and is a mitzvah to kill him. So there's so many myriads of arguments here. But in terms of this presentation that you're touching on, that maybe we have to realize that we're in a war against terrorism, and if we don't put them to death, they're just going to flood back to threaten us. Does the Jewish nation, whatever that means, have the halachic authority to implement such a thing? And I think that largely depends upon the status of the state of Israel. You know, there are those who will say, if you're a Satmar Chassid, that the state of Israel, not only does it have no status, but it's a bunch of Rotschim who are putting Jewish lives into danger by establishing the state. And there should be no state. We can live at home in peace with the Arabs, or don't live in Israel, or whatever it might be. On the other extreme, you'll have those who believe that we're already past the Geula, Mashiach has already come, and the state of Israel is the Mashiach ben Yosef. You know, so somewhere in between those two polar extremes, we have the Beinanim. I would assume that most of us here in the room today are Beinanim. I know I am, at least, in which we're not Satmara, but we're not necessarily willing to sign on that Mashiach has already come. And we could treat the state of Israel as if it was the final authority on all halachic issues of life and death. So if we're in that middle of the road situation, being pulled by in two different directions, at that point I say you can have two different minyanim on Yom HaTzmaut. You know, let one minyan will say hal and one minyan won't say hal. I won't just go to do. So my comparison is to Purim. You know, those who celebrate Purim on the 14th, and those who celebrate Purim on the 15th. So what happened to Lotus Godin? The answer is that in certain cases, the original issue was so divided up that the halacha had to split into two parts. If we had a Navi today, if we had a Sanhedrin, if we had Urim V'Tumim, so maybe we'd know what is the status of the state of Israel. Should I sing Atikva? You know, should I be standing for the flag or not? I don't know. I know what Rabbi Silver says about this. I'm sure he has something to say about it. So, but on the other hand, I don't have a Navi who's willing to tell me that Satmar is right and the state of Israel is the worst thing that ever happened in Jewish history. I don't know if it's worse than the Nazis or on the same level. I don't know exactly what they think in Satmar. And by the way, don't misunderstand me. I'm not postulating Satmar. You know, the chachamim that sit on the bezdin of Satmara are chashim v'talmidei chachamim. I'm not coming to undermine their authority. But in these issues, I have a very, very, very harsh machlokas with Satmar. It's not part of my Masorah. My Masorah is that the state of Israel is part of a divine plan. Now again, how far we are on the way to Geula, I don't know. Well, I think we've taken a serious, significant step, but we're not there. We're far from there. And the Reform and the Conservative, and now even political parties in Israel, are confused about our rights to the Kotel and our rights to Moreh Samach Pela. I mean, we live in such a fachaded and confused world. So we know that the Geula hasn't happened yet. So in this case, I think that there's a gray area in Halacha that really requires a Navi. And I don't think anyone less than a Navi could give me a final answer to this question. So again, I don't know if I may have got off a little on a tangent. All right, Rabbi Osai, we'll thank you so much. Now, we mentioned the Meiri in Sanhedrin that we don't kill the Bav Machter Shenofel of a Sagal because he's not a Rodef, and on Shabbos we will actually save his life because he's not a Gavra Ketila. But the Meiri adds another point here, and that's what's very difficult. And that is that if there's some sort of a suffix, and we don't know if he's alive or not alive, then ein mefakin of sagal. And this is very difficult because in general we violate the Shabbos for a suffix. So why is it that in this case, suffix chai, suffix mes, we will not violate the Shabbos? Again, the whole principle of the Meiri is based on the fact that he's no longer a rodef, therefore we do violate the Shabbos. So why not do so even if he's a suffix? So there's a sefer here quoted, Beis Zvul, which you'll see on page 3, and he writes that according to the Meiri, you're not allowed to kill a Bava Machteris after the Gal falls on him, and that only applies when he is neutralized, and we know he's neutralized, that means Eino Rodev Bivados. But if there's a suffix, we're not sure whether he's a Rodev or not a Rodev, meaning whether or not he's going to come back and again continue to threaten lives, then it's possible that we're not allowed to kill him. Why? Because since we're not allowed to kill him if he's vade not a rodef, we're not allowed to kill him if he's a suffix. And means actively we're not allowed to kill him. We can cause his death, b'shevi altaseh. We can allow him to die under the debris and do nothing, but we can't actively kill him. And I find this personally very difficult to understand. Because how can you possibly say that if he might still be a rodef, we're not going to put him to death? I mean, what, are we going to endanger the lives of other people because maybe he's not a rodef? I mean, he was a rodef. He has the chazok of being a rodef. Things haven't changed. I don't know. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, there's a lot more on this sugya, but that's what we were able to cover for now. Kol tov, bye.